Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mel and Ellen Show. It is Tuesday afternoon, January 15th. We're into the beginning of the new year. Welcome. Love having you here. Love hearing from you. Love being with you. Sadly, we've lost temporarily, I hope, our connection with Ellen, the other half of the Mel and Ellen Show. I do my work from here in California, and she does her work from Florida, Cocoa Beach area. And she was on the line. We were all hooked up together, and then something happened, and she disappeared. So the trusty engineer will be making attempts to get her back online. And Ellen, if you're listening, call in somewhere. We weren't able to reach you. You know, technology is just an absolutely pretty doggone amazing thing, and I think there's a lot, especially in this country, that we take for granted. I just upgraded to Windows 8. I think I took a whole lot for granted. It's working out now, but there were some things I sure didn't know. Anyhow, in our series, this is, again, January 15th, the Mel and Ellen Show. We had a title for today's show, Setting Goals for the New Year. Now, two weeks ago, we come to you every other Tuesday afternoon and at 1 o'clock Pacific and 3 o'clock on the East Coast, or 4. I'm not good at that either. We talked in our last program about resolutions. We had some pretty feisty conversation. We all make them. Pretty much we all do. I think some of us get discouraged and go, I'm not doing, I've heard that, get discouraged and we say, I'm not doing that anymore, which is probably a smart thing in many cases. And then this week, we wanted to talk about setting goals for the new year. And we don't have to really wait for the new year per se, because we can set goals anytime. Anytime we want to achieve something, goal setting, laying out a plan. Ellen giggled at me last show about, you know, laying out my classes and events, etc. for the new year, which I usually always do this month in January, try and lay out the year. And she called it a business plan. I think she's right. But it is creating an outline. It is creating and setting goals for what we want to accomplish. Now, I really, really feel there are some significant and key components to that process. Certainly, I believe... Hello?
Sorry about that. Have no idea what happened.
She's here.
I'm here.
Hey, welcome. So, see what I was telling y'all? Technology, the wonders of technology. She's here, she's gone, and she's back.
I was going to say, that's what I get for showing up early. Huh?
We love having you. How are you today?
Good. Getting blood pressure back down, you know.
Well, isn't that an important thing?
Well, I guess it's just that it's very frustrating technology. You know me; I'm not a tech person, and you know, yeah. So I'm good, though. I'm very good. It's beautiful here. The weather's 72. Nice little breeze, warmer than usual. It's just lovely. It's paradise.
Oh, all right. I have no comment about the weather. As I was sharing with our audience that the last show, we talked about resolutions, and today we will be talking about setting goals for the new year, although we don't necessarily have to wait for the new year. Which, you know, setting goals, there are many, many areas in our lives where we all set goals, career goals, financial goals, you know, growth goals, I think are some of the big ones. So it isn't necessarily just about the new, you know, doing it the new year, but this is sort of tradition in line with our resolutions. We want to lose weight. I suspect that that's probably one of the biggest ones. for the beginning of the new year. Save money, take care of our credit, our bills, do better that way, be more disciplined. All of it involves discipline. And I was about to begin right before Ellen, this is the Mel and Ellen show, right before Ellen got back on board with us, that setting goals, I just feel it's essential that setting goals has to begin with who you are. How do you feel about that?
Has to begin with who you are. I'm lost on that, as a matter. I don't know how you would set a goal if it wasn't for who you are.
Well, okay. An example that I was great response. An example that I was thinking about earlier was if we aren't realistic about who we are and what we want to accomplish, we can set goals that we can never achieve. For example, I thought about, I have a relative who's an adorably short, stocky person.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, and so she wants to lose, 35, 40 pounds, and her vision is that by doing that, she's going to become a tall, willowy, model-like person, when we know that that's never going to happen. So I think that's what I meant by knowing who you are, knowing what you're, being realistic, I suppose, would be the shorter, easier way to say it. But getting a clue about, they got to be based on you. And, say also in terms of time, what is it? I think there is some great research around most of us can do anything for 30 days. I think that's why the 30-day, you can create a habit in 30 days concept came from, which we all know isn't quite true. Certainly maybe for some things. I think once I set about to test that by making my bed. It was the worst world's worst. I mean, I just never wanted to make my bed. So I made my bed every day for 30 days and it was pretty good. It worked for that. But it's not, it's a smaller goal, more achievable. 30 days pretty much did the trick for that. But some of the bigger things, I could probably be at it for 5 or 10 years, and I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
Have you set goals for the new year?
Well, I'm going to go backwards on this and say maybe that when you said be realistic or maybe that's why they always say visualize your outcome. Because you're not going to get any taller, no matter how much you work on that, And I'm thinking to myself, well, if you visualize yourself, if you visualize the final outcome, you would probably get that you're not going to get taller. You're going to get thinner, but.
and then for someone like me, who I'm not a visualizer. I mean, it's not one of my strengths. I'm not clairvoyant either. I'm not dominantly clairvoyant. I don't see pictures very often. So, I could see myself bypassing that one real easy.
Yeah. Okay. So, I did set. Okay. I didn't make resolutions because I don't. I'm sort of with my daughter when she called in last time. I'm sort of with her on that. I don't want to be one of the 88% that says I'm not going to do this. But I did set goals, which I think is a better word. And most of them are, they're sort of my own structure change, but they're more about business because I tend to be not lackadaisical because I'm a really, I really am a business person. But I don't get the business plan written. I don't do the wrong.
Hello? Well, doggone it. It looks like those technical Grinches are left over from Christmas and they're still interfering with Ellen's transmission lines. So I can't wait for her to come back online. I hope she's able to do that. You're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. It's a call-in show. I'd love to hear from you. Ellen would love to hear from you. We'd both love to hear from you. Hopefully she'll be back with us soon. And you can call in toll-free at 888-627-6008 and ask a question. An intuitive question, a psychic question, but mostly share. Love to hear your stories about what goals have you set for yourself in the new year. I think it's also really great when we get that that affirmation around our success for having set goals in the past and achieved them. So success breeds success, as a client reminded me this morning, and I think that's really true. So give a call. Call in. Let us know. Share with us what goals you have set for this year, and where you would like that to take you, and how I think you want to achieve them. It's one thing to set the goals, and then how do we get going in a way that creates the discipline, the stick-to-itiveness, which I think is, you know, really hard. Habits. We want to break habits. I have a book that I got recently called The Power of Habit: Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business by Charles Duhigg. Confess that I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But, you know, habit is a very interesting thing. When we set goals, we have to create habits. We have to create strategies that then begin to work for us in the manifesting of those goals, regardless of what it is. So, how about giving us a call? And this is the Mel and Ellen Show. 888-627-6008. We'd absolutely love to hear from you.
Hey, Mel, I'm back.
Hey.
I don't know what's going on. I keep that ticked off. It's not my.
It's not on your end.
I don't think so. The last time it might have been, but this time it was.
You know, that happened our last show too. You it was a hard connection to get and keep. So maybe there's something going on that the engineer can double check on.
I don't know. Yeah.
So you have set goals. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So you were, as you were saying before, you know, the gremlins got you.
Yeah. Maybe it's my business practices.
Huh?
Maybe it's my business practices. They got kicked me off anyway. But yeah, I do you remember back a ways I was saying to you, I finally sat down and put a business idea or a mapping idea of how to get Kitty Winks and Rainbow Zen off the ground,
right.
Which I am still working on, and I'm very close to having knocked out. But two things. I finally did do that. I sat down and I made a mapping for each one, or whatever you want to call that, for each one. And I really found that one step depended on the other step, depended on the other step. And I was doing steps, but they were out of sync to what really needed to be done. There's a real progression. That was the first thing. And the other thing is, and this is sort of a New Year's goal, resolution goal. It finally occurred to me that there are some things in life I will not ever accomplish, and that's not fatalism. I will never be a computer tech. I don't get it. Working online and navigating my web page and navigating ordering stuff is very difficult for me. So I have decided this year I will pay people for their expertise. And I have a lot of friends that say, oh, don't worry about it. Just come and see me and we'll get it done. No. These people have trained all their lives to do what they're doing. I will pay them for their expertise and have them do what I cannot. And that was a huge step for me, both to let go of it personally and to let go of it, the challenge of it, that, oh, well, if I just study hard enough, or if I just sit down and stare at the screen long enough, or I listen to the tech talk long as I'm going to get it. And bottom line is, no, I'm not. And so when I started handing the work that I couldn't do out to people who I knew could do it, things started to move better. Did that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You put me in mind of, three or four clients that are very successful business people, and that's what they all say. You know, I hire that out because I don't do it well, and I don't need to spend my time there.
Exactly.
But I do totally agree with you. I think small entrepreneurs, which we are, we do fall into that category, small business owners. We have service business primarily, but doesn't change the fact that it's small. I think we all tend to wear a lot of hats and think that we can do, like you said, if I just, I'll get it. If I just keep paying attention and keep the learning curve going, I'll get it and I'll be able to do that and I can zip through it. And I totally agree with you. There's places where you have to say, uh-uh.
Not only that, but I don't even want to.
Exactly.
I want to have the ability to use the product, the internet, whatever it is, but I don't have the time or the energy to learn by the time I learned the piece that I need, it's already evolved into something else.
Right. That's a good point.
So what the equating it over is, when people decide to set a goal for themselves, personally, first you have to identify what it is you really do want to accomplish. And you really do have to sit down with pen and paper and make a map for yourself, or a treasure map, or however you want to, put the words down. Each step is dependent on the step before it. And if you're already on step 10 and you haven't done one, that's when the resolutions collapse. That's when people go, I'll never do this, I can't do it anyway, and they give up. But if you make yourself a little checklist of maybe 4, 5, 6, even 10 steps, and each one you accomplish, you check it off. For instance, quitting smoking. So your first thing is get rid of all your cigarettes. That sounds really easy for people who don't smoke. It's not so easy for those who do smoke. So maybe your game plan under A and B would be finish every cigarette in the house by smoking them. And then getting them all out of the house, or throwing all my lighters out, and then you move to the next one. Well, instead of for breakfast having coffee, I'm going to have tea, because coffee makes me want to smoke. And as you can tell, I am a retired smoker. And I did this checklist. Maybe I won't have wine at 4 o'clock because then I want to eat. Whatever those steps are, and you have to keep doing them. But each time you check one off, you've accomplished something, and it makes you feel like you're a step closer to the goal.
Right.
So.
I totally agree. I also, you reminded me of, this was decades ago again when I had a, like all of us, we have our struggles, and it was my behavior pattern that as soon as I walked in the door of my house, whether I had been at work or whether I had been at school, I had a couple jobs going to school, et cetera, I put my whatever I had, my backpack, my purse, my whatever, my jacket. There was a trail. You could follow the shedding trail right to the kitchen and near the refrigerator or the cupboard, because the first thing I would do was go in the kitchen and eat. I mean, it was like, okay, I'm home. I deserve a reward. Food, I'm going in and I'm going to eat. And when it was a habit. It was just like this mindless thing. And so when I caught that, the modification of that behavior was then the conscious decision that when I hit the front door, I didn't go anywhere near the kitchen. I went to the back of the house. I put my stuff away. I changed my clothes. I did other things. And that finally, doing that often enough, I don't remember, it could have been 30 days. I'm not pretty sure it was more than that. But it was really, it worked. Yeah. To this day, when I get home, I don't go right for the kitchen.
Right. It really, you know, some of it's easy, like the picking up the socks stuff and putting them in the laundry basket or whatever. But when you get into really ingrained habits that feed your soul, because those are the ones, I mean, going to the kitchen and eating as a reward, or sitting down and having a cigarette as a reward.
Right.
These are the things that make you feel better. They lift you up and they go, okay, today was real crud, but by God, that chocolate scent, whatever, cookie, whatever, that cigarette, whatever, is, I'm just looking forward to that because I can sit down and I can kick back, and this is my reward for what today has been. Those
right.
things take months, weeks, years. I mean, those just don't disappear. I think the funniest one I did, Mel, and you'd really appreciate this, was the first one, including smoking, was, okay, I will not allow myself to smoke in the car anymore. Now, that's very hard when you're used to fooling on down the freeway with the old cigarette in the hand, you know. So the first time it happened, I went, oh, my God. And I actually pulled off the road, found a safe place to stop, got out of my car, and smoked a cigarette.
Wow.
And I did that a couple of times before I could get that back. So, I mean, so that's why I said, if you can get a checklist and say, this is where I'm going to start. And then I wouldn't smoke in the bedroom. I wouldn't smoke in the living room. And pretty soon I found if I really wanted a cigarette, I had to go outside on the back porch. And you make it more and more difficult and uncomfortable to do what has always been comfortable and natural. And you begin to change those patterns and you work towards the goal, which is, and I did that for years. I mean, I'm telling you, it took me a long time. It's a really heavy habit. But those are the, you know, that's why you can't go to, I'm going to quit smoking, which is 10 on the list, without having a starting point, which is 1 on the list.
Right. And being kind to yourself being forgiving when it doesn't go the way you want.
Yeah.
You know, there's that place where I think we all go, it's all or nothing.
Yeah, 10 on the list.
Yeah, and it doesn't work that way. You're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio this fine Tuesday afternoon. Mel and Ellen, we both work as Melanie and Ellen. Doreen, we both work as intuitives. We have both very successful practices. And you're invited at this time, you know, New Year's here. If you have a question about what might be in store for you or what's going on for you, and you would like to take advantage of our insights, we would be delighted to serve you. It's toll-free call. Our services are free today when you call in at 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. Also, you know, we're talking about setting goals for the new year and working a plan, setting goals is having a plan, and then you have to work the plan. And I think that's I don't know if I read it somewhere. It might have been from a book called Visionary Business, but the phrase is stuck in my head. It's plan your work and work your plan. And it doesn't matter exactly what you're doing.
No, it fits everything.
Yeah. I haven't gotten around to.
I was just going to ask you.
I haven't. See, intuition's picking up right away.
Yeah.
I got an inquiry from someone today wanting to know, you know, what classes I was going to have, if I was going to have. They haven't posted anything. And she listed a couple of things that she was interested in. She would really like to do them. And I, you know, it's kind of like I had to send back an email going, well, I don't really have anything scheduled yet. And it's a slow unfolding. I'm not sure what direction it's going to go. So I did offer some options, but I haven't. I'm real conscious that I haven't done it. And I think this is the first time in, I don't know, maybe 10 years that I haven't set my schedule up for the coming year. I also need to get on it because we have I have a retreat every fall, and there are some time constraints for a couple of the people who attend, and so I can't wait until July to be planning for September. I really got to get on it. So there's that sort of nudge, shall I call it? And I keep saying, I'm going to do that. And this is, of course, the time too when I think we all face this. Tax time is coming up, and my accountant always sends me a little nice little package with my appointment in it, which creates my deadline.
Your anxiety.
And I'm going, okay, so now I gotta. And I usually have my file drawers cleaned out by now, so I can start filing for the new year. And I have a stack of filing stuff building up because I haven't gotten to that part yet either. I'm not fretting and I'm not being overly. I will get to it. I just haven't gotten it to it yet. I'm not going to beat myself up about it.
And, you know, I think that the way that you do your belt this time, with the first being on a Tuesday, and then, you know, a short week and then a weekend, I don't think people actually started their January until the 8th. You know, I think that whole first week was sort of a lost leader.
You have a good point. Thanks. I like that.
You know, and then, you know, people who were sick and people who had traveled or people who had time off. You know, I don't really think the year got started until the second week of the month. And you're right, just as you said, that I haven't done any of that tax stuff. So that maybe that should have been my goal instead of writing. I think this year's gotten off to kind of a loosey start, you know, because we sort of, you know, didn't tune in on dates. The first wasn't important. The first Monday was important. The first full working Monday, and that was the 8th. So I just think, you know, kind of felt a little strange.
I wonder, you know, as you were speaking, which makes sense to me, you know, and maybe I'm way out in left field here, but there was so much hype, I'm going to put it, I'll say it that way, around the Mayan calendar, you know, 1221 and all that stuff. And whether people, whether you have any affinity for that or not, I mean, people still were paying attention to it. It was like Y2K, you know, nothing's going to happen. But in the back of your head, you're going, what if something does? And then so it came and it's, you know, we're all still here and we're making jokes about it. But I'm wondering, as you were speaking, how much that might contribute to now, you know, okay, well, now we're regrouping and getting back into the groove, you know?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I hadn't really thought about that either until just as you mentioned it. But yeah, everybody was, sure, there was all these jokes flying around, you know, the internet, Facebook, and I think the best one I saw was these two scientists or these two professors are standing together looking at this stone carved thing that was the Mayan calendar. And one professor says to the other, oh no, we found a new translation. It was just the Twinkies bent it. Sorry. But I mean, there was a lot of stuff like that. But you know what I think that you are really correct that people were ha-haing it, but I think that there was a lot of people who were subconsciously kind of waiting to see. And you know, if you really tie that to what my belief system is that we really did pass an important demarcation where we have stepped into an age where people will begin to start returning to their spiritual roots. I don't want to use the Age of Aquarius, it's too hippy-dippy for me, but people are being hard pressed in their lives right now. There are a lot of things that are very disturbing, emotionally, financially, physically. People have been very sick this year, at least down here in our area. People are saying repeatedly, got sick 21st, 22nd, was sick all the way through Christmas, all the way through New Year's, just getting back on my feet now. They call it the bug that keeps on giving, because every time you think you're done, you get tired and sick again. It just keeps coming back on you. So there's a lot of that stuff. And I think that people are being pushed back to look at, who am I? Where do I come from? What do I stand for? And how do I get through this? And I've said that to you before, Mel, where I really thought that people who are like us, or have lived life lessons and gotten through to the other side, more and more folks are going to turn around and say, so what is it that you know? Because you're still smiling. You're still alive. You're still generating. What is it that you know, and how do we learn it? And I think that this is an age that we've come into where people are going to have to stand responsible for who they are. And I think that a lot of what's going on right now are people are kind of out there on icebergs floating around going, I don't even know what direction I want to go in. Because everywhere I'm going, I'm running into a brick wall.
Right.
So I think that my, and I think really truthfully that we did pass through some center that is turning us back to the core of who we are, our integrity, our dignity, our faith in ourselves, our ability to stand up and be counted, our independence, our freedom. These are important core issues that people are being pushed to look at.
I agree. It is that age. It is that time, you know? Well put, by the way.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. If you have any questions, you have something you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Toll-free call, 888-627-6008. Give us a call. We're talking about setting goals for the new year and having a plan, working your plan, plan your work your plan, figuring out how to handle habits. And I like the context that would just sort of segue into, because I think, an optimism, which really was reflected in what you said, if not, it wasn't necessarily overtly stated, but to be successful in planning your work, working your plan, achieving your goals, making your goals, setting goals, there has to be a level of optimism, belief, that it's going to work out.
Yes, you have to, and you're right. It is not only an optimism. That optimism has to be a necessity. It has to be something you wake up with every day going, okay, it's a new day. I have to tell you this. I went to a very interesting seminar down at a place called Aquarian Dreams. It's a little metaphysical bookstore down here on A1A in it's down by South Melbourne. Anyway, they had a speaker there who was talking about quantum physics, and he was one of the contributors to What the Bleep Do We Know? And he said the most interesting thing, and I've been chewing on it, and it's really interesting. He said, in The Secret, they said to you, oh, put a picture, you want a BMW, put the picture on your wall of the BMW. Put a picture in your office of the BMW. Get the keychain that says BMW. Clean your garage out that says BMW. I'm going to put my brand new BMW here. And he says, how does it feel to want? And he says, when you want something, what are you creating? You're creating more want. And if you are happy and grateful about something, what are you creating? You're creating gratitude. And you know me, Mel, with my gratitude journal and all of this stuff. But I was driving home thinking about it, and I thought, not only is that a truth in the esoteric form, but you wear it in the physical form. Because it's one thing to sit here and, you know, put your little hands together and say, well, thank you very much for the food that I have on my table. It's another thing to feel that gratitude.
Right.
And when you feel it inside of you and state it, you are then creating more gratitude, not just saying it. Because saying it is just mouthing words. And it was the most, and I've always known that, but I was never able to articulate it and say, okay, folks, it's not just a matter of sitting here writing your wish list to the universe and saying, give me, give me, give me, or thank you, thank you, thank you, in anticipation of receiving it. You have to feel that gratitude, or you're not creating anything.
And that's very profound there, really.
I didn't mean to sideline there, but it was just such a profound, and I had such a wonderful evening. A very interesting gentleman, and I don't have his papers in front of me, and I'm sorry to say that, but I'll put him up on my Facebook page. Very interesting man, wonderful sense of humor. Does quantum, he does the EFT, the tapping, and he's mixed it with affirmations, and it's really a fascinating. So I'll put it up on my Facebook page for people to see it on my webpage. But truthfully, it is. It's all about feeling that you can't just mouth words. When you are in gratitude truly in the soul of you, you are connected to the source.
I love that, and I think it's spot on. And we do bounce off each other, because you made me, you brought up for me something that someone shared with me this last week about that optimism, about that gratitude, about that place that we are. They were at some sort of a training, and trainer was a woman who was really, really good, very, very, very motivating, very, very good. And she had a glass. She picked up a glass that was half full of water. I was walking around with it. And he said, you know, we all knew what was coming. We were going to get that, okay, you know, is the glass half full or half empty? And when she got to it, she didn't go there at all. She instead went to a place where I have this glass. It's half full of water, and I can carry it around very comfortably for, you know, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. But the longer I carry it, the heavier it's going to get, and the harder it's going to be to hold. And pretty soon my arm is going to hurt, and my wrist is going to ache, and my fingers are going to get achy, and I'm going to need to put it down. Now, I can carry that glass for days successfully, as long as I occasionally put it down frequently enough to not burn myself out on having to carry it and making and hurting myself because I insist on carrying that half full or half empty glass around with me. And I thought, man, that's really smart. The decisions we make, the goals that we make, you know, if you're going to carry around the burden of trying to change them without that gratitude, without incorporating all that other stuff, you're not going to be successful either.
That's really interesting, too, because whether the glass is half empty or half full, no matter how you're viewing it, it's still going to get heavy.
Exactly. That's, yeah.
So I think that's really a truth of what we're talking about, too. We all need to free ourselves from all these things we put on our ankles and drag around with us. And especially in our work, because it segues right into it. How many times have you heard someone say they came from a reader or a psychic or whatever, and they said, oh, there's black clouds all around you, you know? And so the fear of going to a psychic and getting really true spiritual help or intuitive is that you'll get frightened. And so you don't do it at all.
Right.
It's just so, you know, it's just that, it's all that stuff. We just keep carrying stuff with us. I'm sorry.
I share with you, you know, you did it again. I share with you a person that I read for Saturday very briefly, somebody new. Walking at Crystal Channels, actually, and it doesn't happen very often, but she just wanted stone cold intuition. She didn't want card, she didn't want signature, she didn't want anything. She just sat there and said, basically, read me. And I'm okay, that's cool. She gave me her first name, and that was it. And so I'm trying, you know, I'm tuning in, and I'm not getting hardly any. I mean, usually it just goes and flows. I'm very grateful for that. I'm not getting much at all. And so I said to her, I said, you know, I have to tell you, the bottom line is, I said, I'm just not picking up very much. I'm getting something about moving or movement, but that could be totally symbolic. I'm not getting anything fleshing out what's behind that. And I, you know, again, we know it happens, doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And I said, I believe that there are a variety of reasons why the information doesn't come, but the realities are it's not flowing. And then as I started talking, telling and beginning to explain that, what came was that, and she was just like, you know, that stoic, sober, stone face, and not giving you anything, which I like. I mean, I don't object to that at all. Makes you work a little harder, but it's good. And I said, unless, of course, it what came up was she was so bent, just what, you know, you said about trusting. She was so concerned about not being taken advantage of, that she had walled up so well that I couldn't get anything. And as soon as I said that, she just cracked up. She started laughing, and the whole thing was all broken apart, and then the information started to flow. And it was great. It was an amazing session. But her concern, and that's exactly what came up, was that her concern about being taken advantage of, or she didn't, you know, she was going to pay regardless of whether, what kind of information she got, and she did not want to pay for something that wasn't genuine.
Yeah, that's it.
It was, so she walled it up. It was, I've never had anybody that I am aware of that so consciously walled themselves up like that. And she went on to say, she said, I really didn't realize I was doing that. But as soon as you said that, that's exactly what I was doing.
Yep. I just think it's so amazing. God love these people.
I know.
It's interesting. I had a one-on-one in the chamber. We meet with chamber partners, and we spend time telling each other about what our businesses are so that we can help each other make our business grow. And especially in my business, it's so important that I do them, because if people don't know me, they're not going to come to me. It's that simple. You can advertise forever. And the gentleman I talked to today was very skeptical, very frightened. He would have never, ever, ever talked to a psychic medium, except that I was a chamber partner. And he felt, that we had to do it. And when we were through, he had a whole different view of who I am and what I do and how I do it. And it's because we stay in the light and the positive. And we are spending our time breaking those images of what people drag around with them.
Right.
All the stuff they drag around with them. It's fun, exciting, and it's also frustrating. And I have to tell you this one, and I'll do it real quick. I read for a lady a couple of months ago, in quiet to me. And I did the whole thing, and we were talking about, you know, all the normal stuff. And at the end, we were talking about love and romance and I said, this, I really see this gentleman, and I think his name will be in blah, 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 blah. And the lady said to me, gee, the psychic I saw last week said the same thing. And, of course, that always grabs my attention because I don't care doing, you know, someone goes and sees the psychic and then's going to check it against me to see if we're both saying the same thing. But it does worry me when people start repeating psychic visits because they're not using information that they're just getting more information. And I said, so why did you have a reading a week ago? Well, same sort of thing. And I said, so why are you here with me today? What is it that you really want to know? And here was the bottom line. The lady she saw told her at the very end of her reading that her aura was fractured. And for $250, she would help her restore her aura to that. And I looked at the lady like she hit me, and I said, oh, well, first of all, your aura is light. I don't know that you can fracture that. You can bend it, I guess. But and she said, well, you don't see that. I said, of course I don't see that, you know. And what happened to this woman is for a week, she was walking around believing that she was going to die.
Wow.
Because her aura was fractured, and she was darned if she was going to take, because the intellectual part of her said, there's nothing the matter with your aura. You're not going to die. You're not paying this woman $250 to light candles and pray for you. And the soul of her was saying, oh, God, what if she's right?
Right.
So we had a long talk about what $250 will buy you at the dollar store in candles.
That's a great segue. That's a great place to go. And how fortunate that, you know, that she sought someone else out and got that clarity, you know?
And I didn't mean to go off onto this tangent, but we'll, you know, when you talk about carrying things around and, you know, half full and half empty and all that stuff, oh, you know, if we can do nothing more with our talent and our lives and our radio show and whatever medium we have to get out there, this is junk, folks.
Yeah.
You know, get yourself a good reader.
They're very worthwhile to have.
Yes.
You're listening to the Mel and Ellen Show. We come to you every other Tuesday on BBS Radio. We're sadly kind of winding down, but we do still have time to take a call or two, perhaps, which is toll-free. You can avail yourself of that toll-free number and our services at 888-627-6008. Again, that is 888-627-6008. Give us a call. What are your goals? What questions do you have? We'd love to hear from you. Well, I guess one of the things I'll take out of this is some motivation to... after I get my tax stuff ready to prioritizing. That's an important part of goal setting and achieving is prioritizing. So I'll get my taxes all ready to go to the accountant, and then I'll set about getting my some sort of outline goals business for the coming year. Thank you for that motivation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, my biggest excitement and motivation and whatever is carrying me forward is tomorrow I'm meeting with and paying for the expertise of my friend Leon Olguin from Solo Creative Media, who has produced Rainbow Sand for me, and he is going to help me contact and send for my audiobook CD, and we should have them ordered tomorrow afternoon intact and ready to come. And then tomorrow also at 2 o'clock, I am meeting with a lovely lady I met whose name is Jo Grant, and she is a publisher, and she's going to help me put together Rainbow's End as a book, and also show me how we can put them on my new website that will be coming up, Kitty Winks, so we can upload it so that people can go right to the website and download to their different devices that they might have.
I am so excited for you. I am so excited for you. For those of you out there listening, Ellen wears more than one hat. Well, all women wear more than one hat. I got to put that in there. I just got to.
Yes,
I guess most men wear more than one hat, too. But Ellen is a wonderful author, creator. She is establishing a company called Kiddy Winks.
Yeah, that's right.
And she has written this wonderful, wonderful prose poetry story called Rainbow's End, which is just, I've had the privilege of being around while it has taken shape, and as now it begins to come to its rainbow's end.
Exactly.
And beginning, because there's always that wonderful pot of gold there. It is a beautiful story. You are just a wonderful writer, and I'm really, really excited. It sort of segues back to what you said about the tech thing, about I'm going to pay somebody to do X because that's not my expertise. And yeah, I could probably figure it out. It could take me 5 years. I love what you said. And by the time I figured it out, something new would be there.
Right.
And this sounds like one of those places that you've just made that decision that I'm, because I know you've struggled with a couple of other folks in terms of bringing this to its full maturation and available to all of us. Would love to have it. So I'm really, really excited about that. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. November 27th, I was halfway to having the CD done, and the people that I had trusted to do it dropped the ball. And I had to stop and start all over again. And that was when I decided, you know what, there's things I can't do and there's things I can't do. That's one that I can't do. So I'm so excited. And then, as God always does, when you look for the answers, you know, the teacher appears. And I met this lovely lady, Jo Grant, at the Cocoa Village Fair down here, and she is an author. She publishes, but she's also a publishing house, and so she's meeting me tomorrow also to see that we can put Rainbow's End out as the real book with all the artwork and everything. So I'm very excited. But going back to goals, this is a goal I set last year for myself, and I actually made, as I said to you, a map. And I said, these are the steps that have to be done before I can get here. So I'd like to tell you, I got to 10 before I did 1. That's what happened.
I love it. I think it's a great story and a great example of goal setting and that, you know, go back a variety of things that have come up in our conversation today. You know, really being grateful, really having the gratitude, really having the conviction, the belief, the dedication, the motivation, being willing to put the glass down when it got too heavy and take a little break before you picked it up again. I just think that it's marvelous, and I love the you know what you just shared in terms of the new contacts that you've made. It's interesting that when you decided that you weren't going to keep muddling through with people who weren't giving you the service and that you had paid for, that you were expecting, that you shut the door. And when you shut the door, wow, look what walked through the other sliding glass door.
Exactly. I am in gratitude. I'm wholly grateful for the gifts that have been given.
For those of you listening, Ellen and I each have our own websites. You can find us easily these days. I mean, put Ellen Doreen or Illuminations, Ellen Doreen Illuminations into the Google search and it'll come up. You can put Melanie Thomas Insights, Melanie Thomas or Insights, either one for both of us, into the Google search bar or whatever search bar you have and we'll come up. On our websites, on Ellen's, I want to really talk about Ellen's website because this is such an exciting thing. to have Kitty Winks and Rainbow's End nearing this place, plus the other information that Ellen shared earlier in the show that will be available on her website and on her Facebook page. You're smoking me on the Facebook thing, man.
I have help. No, I have really good help. Don and Natalie Norris from N Square Certified Media. These folks, they could teach a monkey to do these things. They are so wonderful. They are the nicest people in the whole world. And I have to tell you really quick, Don said to me, okay, here's your web page, and here is your dashboard so that you can control your web page. Right. I said to him, yeah, I have a dashboard, buddy, but I'm in the back seat, so let's get this right, you know?
I love that. So. Hey, I go to my dashboard and I have, you know, I go do the blog thing and that's it. Anything else that somebody else has to do.
Right. I'm learning. It's a big curve, but I'm learning.
I know. Hey, you have been listening to the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. We really, really are happy that you tuned in, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Hope you tune in 2 weeks from today. That will be January 29th, 2013. The topic of our show will be resistance. We did a whole little series this month, starting out with resolutions on January 1st, on New Year's Day. Today we did setting goals for the new year. Lots of information there. A lot of things I know you all can resonate with. And then on the 29th, we'll be talking about resistances, what they are, how to overcome them. They're important. Resistances are really, really important. Not bad things. Sometimes we tend to think of, I guess it's the syllable thing again. Really glad to have you. It's been a great hour, my friend. I'm so glad you were able to tune back in. And we will be Mel and Ellen, Melanie and Ellen Doreen, and we will be looking forward to hearing from you again on January 29th, Tuesday afternoon, 2013. Thank you all so much.